Welcome to the Link Together podcast, a place where we attempt to unpack the connections between our faith and how it influences the way we live our lives. I'm your host, Bob Hegdahl, pastor for mission and outreach at Calvary Lutheran Church in Clarkston, Michigan, as well as development pastor for our campus in Lapeer, Michigan. Each episode offers perspective into possible avenues of living out our faith through our daily lives and features an interview segment with someone from the campuses of Calvary, the communities we serve, and beyond. Special thanks goes out to Kelly Rinaldi for all of her help with PR and for Keith Van Gore for his mastery of all things sound related. You both are appreciated. We also appreciate you, our listeners, and are glad you've joined us for episode 2. If you will, please like and subscribe to the podcast, which arrives on the first and third Thursdays of each month. It is now time for a spiritual snack, where a single word is identified and then unpacked, looking through the lens of faith and daily life. The word for this episode is help. Help is a four-letter word, the good kind, a word that can go down many streams of thought, depending on how it's used. For many people, when they hear the word help, their natural response is, okay, what can I do to help? How can I be of assistance? What is it that I can make happen? This is what we like to call the favored child when it comes to interpreting the word help. For humanity in general, and for people who identify as people of faith, most individuals have a natural inclination to want to help others, especially family and friends. Can I give you a lift? Do you want me to bring my new snowblower over and take care of your driveway and sidewalk for you? Let me help with the dishes. If you wash, I'll dry. Oh, your car is stuck in the middle of the road and you need some help? Hold on, I'll be right there to help. When I wore the clothes of a younger man, I loved to help people move because for some reason, picking up and moving heavy things is something that I've always been good at. You get the picture. Most people love to help others. The Bible talks about helping others a lot. Romans 12:13 puts it this way, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Helping others is certainly a way to live out your faith in your daily life. People who identify as people of faith even have an affinity to help people they do not even know. Some people like to come out on Wednesdays at Calvary's Clarkston campus to help distribute food to people in need that most of us will never meet face to face. We go out and help build habitat houses. We help clean green spaces like parks, participate in fundraisers for whatever need may have arisen. We have Community Impact Weekend coming up in Clarkston with many ways to help to serve others. We help to make quilts for people who have no warmth. Help collect and distribute clothing for people who are lacking. Part of being a person of faith is being in the helping people business. Philippians 2:4 reminds us, let each of you not only look to your own interests, but also the interests of others. For most of us, the way help is defined sits pretty well with us, and it's easy to connect to our daily lives into our faith when we do such acts of kindness. But as I mentioned earlier, help can take on many forms. If you look at the word in a reverse way, and we ask the questions a bit differently, people of faith tend to get a bit restless in their chairs, wiggle around a bit when the tables are turned, and the question turns from how can I help you to what sort of help do you need? Wait, what? I am the helper, not the helpee. People can get downright uncomfortable when help is offered. The level of uncomfortableness rises exponentially when people really need help, but they do not want to ask. But I'm the one who helps others. I don't receive help from others. No way. Not me. You should just go find someone else to help because I'm just fine. How often in your life have you run across someone, or maybe you were that someone, who tells people they are just fine because they don't want anyone to know that they need help? Often, there's a bit of pride involved, We dismiss the help of others with all sorts of excuses, like, I don't want to be a burden. There are people more worthy than I am to help. I'm really okay. I don't need help. Meanwhile, many of these people who say they're okay are actually drowning in need. While in general people of faith love to help, they are much less likely to be willing to receive the help of others. It certainly can be a struggle. If you struggle to accept the help of others, you are not alone. Needing help isn't a sign of weakness. It's a sign of being human. Hebrews 4:16 says, Let us then come with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come to God when you are in need of help. Come to the people of God also when you are in need of help. For too long, most people, especially people of faith, have seen help as a one-way street. I help, you receive. Whether we want to admit it or not, in order to fully embrace what it means to be a person of faith and to weave it into our daily lives, we need to embrace that sometimes it's our turn to have our feet washed. When Jesus began the motions to wash the disciples' feet, I'm sure more than one of them began to feel uncomfortable. When it was Simon Peter's turn, he said, "You will not wash my feet." And Jesus told him, "If I do not wash you, you will have no part with me." Basically, you'll never get it if you don't understand this. Part of being a servant of God and a helper of others is becoming vulnerable enough to be helped yourself. Then you will fully learn why it's so difficult for people to ask for help. Then you'll begin to understand more deeply why people are so reluctant to receive help from others, because it's so hard for so many to be the recipients of help from another. I chose this word because after a year of pandemic, people of faith have rallied around helping others. We have helped our neighbors when we can, distributed food boxes, collected school supplies, winter clothing, water, you name it. We have been pretty good at helping others. But I'm not entirely convinced that we have any idea how many of us need to avail ourselves of the help of others. There are people right now, I know, that are struggling mightily with their mental health, with potential job losses, with the loss of the way things used to be, with the deaths of family, friends, and loved ones. I'm concerned that the children of this pandemic are facing many mental health challenges as a result of the isolation, the time lost in person school, the loss of time with friends, whatever educational deficits might exist. They don't know how to ask for help. Perhaps it's because it's never been modeled for them. But who can better model receiving help from others than people of faith? We can do it. Remember, Jesus said it was part of the deal, and we will never fully understand it if we resist the help we need from others. The question remains, though, are you willing to go there? Can you make receiving help from others when you need it a part of how you live your life of faith in your daily life? We can break the molds that have kept us on that one-way street of only helping others and not receiving help from others. When we become willing recipients of help from others, we can be a gift to those around us who may see our actions and become emboldened enough to ask for the help that they may need. We can do it. We have the capability. There are plenty of people willing to help us, but will we ask? Remember, the best description we could place on the word help, the most faith-based way to answer and incorporate into our lives is, help is a two-way street of giving and receiving, traveled by everyone. Sign me up. The Link Together Connecting Faith and Daily Life podcast is a ministry of Calvary Lutheran Church with campuses in Clarkston, White Lake, Pontiac, Lapeer, Pinckney, and beyond. Calvary Lutheran Church is here because you matter. At Calvary, people are invited to come as they really are and to become all that God has made them to be. We believe that we are blessed so that we may be a blessing to others, and our mission is ultimately to know Christ and to make Christ known, and we do it better together. To find out more about Calvary Lutheran Church and all the vibrant ministries, check out our webpage, calvaryinfo.org, or better yet, attend one of our weekly worship service experiences, either online or in person. My guest for this episode of Talk to the Hand is the owner of AnyFit Training, providing personal and group training opportunities for all. Like our church, AnyFit was never closed during the pandemic. The mission of AnyFit is building strength and confidence through fitness. You can connect with her through her website, annie.fit. That's A-N-N-I-E.F-I-T. She's a member of Calvary Lutheran Church and is married to our worship and technical arts director, Keith. Annie, welcome to Link Together, and thank you for sharing part of your faith story with us.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
Okay, so as we begin today, can you just share with our listeners, give them a little glimpse of your story as to how you became a person of faith?
Sure. I was fortunate enough to be born into a Christian family. My parents raised us going to church and with Christian values. We went to Christian school from elementary through college, so relationship with Jesus has always been a part of my life.
Awesome. Awesome. So as you look at your life today, you know, in what specific ways do you see your faith affect the way that you're living your daily life? It could be your business. It could be in your home life with your friends. How do you see your faith affecting the way that you live your life?
I see it in a lot of areas. I find that many of the things that I spend my time doing have a faith component or are tied to the church in one way or another. I help lead the women's group, IF Gathering. We have an annual big event and we lead that together. Also, IF Table is a smaller group that gathers. So that's kind of a couple of the ways I'm involved here in church. And then with my personal training business, I'm always trying to make connections between faithful living and the dedication and perseverance and growth that comes in living a life of faith and growing with Jesus, also connecting that to living a healthy lifestyle. In my Zoom sessions with the groups in the morning and in the evenings, I'm often trying to sprinkle in little things that I've read in my devotional time or that I've heard in church and just encourage everyone to get through the workout and to take a little tidbit with them and encourage them to have that quiet time with God and to look for Him in action in their lives.
That's awesome. Thank you. When you're experiencing worship or when you're doing your devotionals, do you find yourself that you might see something and you might say to yourself, wow, that would work really good as I'm doing my class today. I should work this in. This is something that I think other people would benefit from hearing. Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah. Yeah. I try and read with the intention of, you know, gleaning something for myself, but also something to share that makes sense. And I'm never trying to make light of a spiritual matter, comparing it to a 30-minute workout, but it can help to just have a different kind of connection and to feel the struggle of some exercise time with a struggle in your life. And I can push through this. And with God's help, I can make progress and make change and make a difference.
All right, amen, amen. So who are some of the people that have impacted your walk of faith? You know, those kind of people who modeled living their faith through how they led their lives. And what part of what you witnessed from them became a part of how you live out your faith?
Well, the first two that come to mind are my mom and dad. And two things specifically stick out. Every morning, my mom would greet us, me and my sisters. She'd greet us with a hug, and she'd whisper in our ear, "I give you to Jesus today." She was every day turning us over to Him and entrusting us into His care when we were with her or when we were at school or off in our activities. And that got a little cheesy as I got older. I'm like, come on, Mom. But really, that shows her faithfulness and her trust in our faithful God, that she does what she can when she's with us girls. And then from there, she just gives us up to him. So that made a big impact on me. And then I know at night, my dad would either peek in and check on us or maybe come in and just pass by when we were older. And he would say the blessing from Numbers. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. And when I was older, he shared that he had done that every night over us. And that's just really been powerful for me to learn. And then every night with our kids, we do the Faith Five and we share a blessing with them. And I just hope that those repeated significant words have as big of an impact on Gabe and Bryn as they had on me from my parents.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And you know, here you are, however many years later, it's meaningful to you and you're talking about it. So right. What a gift you can give to your kids. It was a gift that was given to you. So fantastic. So as you look at your life, you know, what areas of your life do you wish reflected more of your faith or the person that you are to those you encounter?
I find that most of my friends are Christians. Most of the people I surround myself with on a regular basis are Christians. And so that makes it pretty easy to talk about church and what I'm reading and studying and how God's helping me or challenging me. So it's always a scary thing to put out there, but, you know, more opportunities to witness to people who may not be churchgoers or believers, and to plant seeds in a less discreet way, you know, more than just being kind in my words and my actions, but more being a bit more intentional. And through the clients that I see that I know don't go to church, they know I go to church and believe in God, and I share some with them. Just trying to be a witness in that regard. And as a coach, being a good model and taking conversations in the right direction when the opportunities come. Couple of areas that are right in front of me, but even beyond that, I think I could be braver to step out.
It's like seizing the moment. You know, you're in the moment and you feel it, and then you kind of make that decision. Do you go for it or do you not? And mm-hmm. You know how wonderful it is that you have these opportunities where you can do that. You can speak to your faith as you're interacting with others and share with them, and hopefully, you know, it'll have some meaning to them as well. So fantastic. So we're getting to the end of our talk to the hand questions, and as you're the second person to sit in that chair after my daughter started us off a few weeks ago, what advice would you give to someone who wants to live their life of faith, who live their life through their faith, but they're not really sure where to begin?
I would say to start small. There's a lot of great role models in person, in our church and community, and of course, online and social media. You can pick out your favorite authors or teachers that you want to follow, and it can be real easy to be discouraged and think, oh, they know so much scripture, or their prayers are, you know, eloquent and powerful, and I don't know how to do any of that. And then we sell ourselves short and just maybe don't take any step in the direction that we feel pulled to go. So just starting small with a verse or a reading, prayer, even just one little change can make a big, big difference. Connecting with someone who you know is more spiritually mature than you. I think like Kira mentioned last year, kind of finding like a mentor, someone to guide you along the way. But just not beating yourself up for your shortcomings, but just trusting that God sees your heart, knows your heart's desire to grow closer to him. And he always wants you to be coming back.
Yeah. Yep. That's for sure. I had a mentor once tell me that, you'll never be able to achieve the level of confidence in yourself that God already has for you. Mm. So, you know, sort of take that with you as you, you know, become more courageous or more bold or more daring, know that the person who has or the most confidence in you is the God who sent you, and kind of go with that. So we want to really thank you for being willing to be a guest on our second podcast, Linking Together. And as we end our time today, perhaps people were inspired by what you said today, and not just about the things that ways that you connected your faith to your life, but you know, also may want to find out more about your personal training business. So how would they? What's the best way for them to connect with you if they want to, you know, check you out and maybe have a conversation with you about, you know, helping them achieve their goals?
Sure. Yeah. My email is probably the easiest way. It's just my first initial and my last name, avangore@gmail.com. And I'm always checking it, always happy to have a conversation and see where people are at and how I can help them, like you said at the beginning, build strength and confidence. I find that exercising is a lot like a spiritual journey. You know it's something good that you want to do and should do, but it just doesn't always happen. So just as we need mentors and guides along our spiritual journey, I love to be a guide in the physical journey as well.
Just like we're talking about in our small groups at Calvary right now, you know, the A of the small group SEA is, you know, accountability. And I think part of it is just not to have someone that's going to, like, you know, hold your feet to the fire, but someone who you're going to, you know, meet with, whether it's through Zoom or any other vehicle, and somebody that's going to be there for you and that you're going to want to be there for, because you made this commitment to get healthier. And so thank you. Thank you so much for being here. And the podcast will come out on April 1st.
All right.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
These are the current mission and outreach opportunities at Calvary Lutheran Church. We're collecting new boxes, packs of kid scissors, pens, pencils, markers, highlighters, colored pencils, pencil box and pouches, glue sticks, watercolor paint sets, spiral notebooks, 1.5 to 2 inch 3 ring binders, and single serve prepackaged pretzels, popcorn, goldfish, Cheez-Its, and granola bars. Please bring the items to Calvary's Clarkston campus on the days and times available, or deliver them to Clarkston Community School Board office. We continue our partnership with Lighthouse of Oakland County to distribute boxes with over 35 pounds of non-perishable items to our neighbors and local agencies Wednesday mornings at our Clarkston campus. At 8 a.m., the food boxes are removed from a semi and stacked on pallets. The boxes then are distributed between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. to individual families and local organizations that drive through for curbside pickup. If you would like to be part of this amazing serving opportunity, you can sign up at Calvary's website, calvaryinfo.org. Do you own a trailer that you no longer use? The Hunger Initiative is looking for a permanent trailer to replace the one that Pastor Kate's father has generously provided over the last few months. The trailer will be used weekly to transport food boxes and will also be available for the White Lake Community Garden and the Pontiac Community Orchard, as well as Community Impact Weekend and beyond. The trailer should be in good condition, at least 6x8, with sides and a gate ramp for loading or being closed. The cost to purchase a trailer is expected to be around $500. If you have a trailer, please reach out to Pastor Bob at 313-384-9659 or hunger@calvary-lutheran.org. To contribute to the potential cost of a trailer, contact Pastor Bob at 313-384-9659. The Baldwin Center currently serves over 1,000 sandwiches per week. As part of our ongoing partnership, Calvary has a fresh, new way for us to continue this very important and impactful work in the Pontiac area. We will be making 200 sandwiches per week and take them down to the Baldwin Center for distribution. Serving opportunities are shoppers, sandwich makers and packers, and drivers. Calvary's PPE protocols to include facial coverings and social distancing, which are required. If you're interested, contact Pastor Bob Hegdahl at 313-384-9659 or hunger@calvary-lutheran.org. We are also looking for sponsors to support this new program. 1 week of sandwiches costs approximately $150. That's 75 cents per sandwich. sponsor this effort, please contact Pastor Bob at 313-384-9659. Are you handy? Do you like helping our neighbors with small home repairs and projects? We are looking for people interested in serving as an extension of our partnership with Clarkston Community Church. We are looking for skilled and unskilled labor for small construction rehab projects in the Clarkston area. Generally, there are multiple projects occurring at the same time, so all levels of help are welcome. If you are interested, please reach out to Pastor Bob at 313-384-9659 or Russ Milano from Clarkston Community Church at 248-505-9522. Well, we've come to the conclusion of our episode. Thank you so much again for listening, and please like and subscribe the Link Together podcast. And until next time, keep making those faith and daily life connections, as you may be the first or only Bible that some people may ever read.